I just wanted to remind everyone the conference is being recorded. You may go ahead.
Thank you so much, Julie. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the contact call on the 6th of November 2013. On the call today, we have Volker Gryman, Chris Dillon, Rudy Vansnik, Yoav Karin, and Vinny Kumar Singh. I have received no apologies for today's call, and from staff, we have Julie Headland, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much, Natalie, and this is Julie Headland, and I want to give a special thanks to Lars for pulling together this meeting so quickly, and to all of you for being able to join so quickly. As you may know, I know some of you. Oh, I see that Amir has joined us in the Adobe Connect room. Amir, are you on the line? Okay. I see. Okay, Amir is enabling the audio in the AC room. but just a little bit of background. So at last week's GNSO Council meeting, on the 31st of October, there was a discussion of the motion to approve the charter. During the discussion, it was decided that the motion to approve the charter would be withdrawn in order to give the charter drafting team an opportunity to consider some changes. Lars Hoffman very helpfully went through the information sent by Yoav, the question sent by Yoav and Volker, and made some suggested changes to the charter, which he sent around last week, which I hope that you've all seen. And I know Chris Dillon had some comments that Lars has also tried to include. I have put this document into the Adobe Connect room. And at this point, I'll turn it over to our chairs, Chris and Rudy. But what I do have up on Adobe Connect is where the is a section of the charter where the changes begin, and those are highlighted in red line.
Thank you very much, Julie. This is Chris speaking. Now, Rudy, what should we do about the chairing of this meeting?
Rudy speaking. Well, Chris, I would suggest you did marvelous work in the past, so I think you can do it again. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Rudy. This is Chris speaking. So all I'm going to do is, first of all, we need to have a look at today's agenda and make sure we just follow it. So we've done the roll call. I need to officially ask people whether there are any changes in the statement of interest statements, because there's been some time since we last met, so there just about could have been. Okay, just wait a few moments just in case. Okay, that being...
I'm erased this time.
Oh, yep, sorry, just a minute. I was looking at the wrong screen there. So let's, yes, Ahmed, please speak.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Rudy. One change on my SOI is that I will be serving as the NCSG representative to the GNSO Council at starting the end of the Buenos Aires meeting. Thanks.
Okay, this is Chris speaking. Thank you very much for that, Ahmed. So in that case, we move into the main part of the agenda, which is looking through the document and just analyzing the various changes that have been suggested. And Julie has displayed the document on page 4. So the first question is whether there is any change that we are unaware of before then. Or are we just talking about those paragraphs at the top of page 4? Lars, would you like to say something about that?
Thanks, Chris. This is Lars. Yeah, just to confirm that all the changes to your original charter that were submitted are in track changes. So there's some on page 4, and it gets also down to page 5. And I'm just scrolling down. I presume you can see that on the screen. And that is it. So those are the only changes that were made since the charter was submitted.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Chris speaking. Okay, so let's go to the top of page 4 and then just work through systematically. I know for a fact there is one thing, but we might as well just be really systematic and go through these changes. So the pink text starts, and so we've got this thing, what exactly the benefits to the community are of translating and or transliterating contact data, especially in light of the costs that may be connected. So that would seem to be fairly uncontroversial. So, you know, one guesses that people may be talking about security and things like that. But then we have what was originally one question, but which then got split into two. So we've got, should translation and transliteration of contact data be mandatory for all GTLDs? In fact, I've actually thought of another thing which is may not be totally clear here, and I'll just bring it up, and that is, you see, I'm hoping that this is actually clear enough that you could have a situation where some parts of contact data were translated and other parts were transliterated. Now, there's part of me wondering whether we should actually make that clear. Or whether this is good enough, whether looking at this, we can presume that the working group could have a situation where certain parts of the contact data were translated and other parts were transliterated. So it's not a binary choice. It could be sort of elements of one and or elements of the other. There is a question whether we should actually be explicit about that. I don't know whether anybody feels that the document's all right as it is, or whether we should actually be explicit. That's really the question. My own instinct is that we should possibly add text and just, you know, really just encode what I've just said, that we would want the working group to have the option of doing both of these. They may decide not to, but I feel personally that it would be good to give them the option. Okay.
Hi, it's Joab here. I'm in favor. I think it's a good idea that.
Right. Know, yeah. I will draw something which will just make clear that it isn't a binary decision. That it could be one or the other, but it could also be a mixture. Okay, thank you for that. That was Chris just adding that. And then moving forwards, we've then got, should translation, transliteration of contact data be mandatory for all registrants or only those based in certain countries? I have no comment about this at all. I think we're just fine leaving it there. Rudy would like to say something, so please fire away. Rudy.
Yes, thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Well, I think that it should not be restricted to certain countries. Translation or transliteration is not specific for a country. It has to do with information that could not be available for that typical language that is used in the contact data. That's my personal opinion.
Thank you, Rudy. This is Chris speaking. To an extent, I agree with you completely. I was quite surprised to see this question. However, I have no objection to it, and I think effectively what I would like to say is that that is something that the working group can decide, and I have feelings about that as well, but I don't really want to guess what the working group wants to do with that. And then there are two other people with their hands up, and I think Volker got in before Amr. I'm sorry if it was the other way around. Volker, would you like to say something?
Yes, thank you. Just to this point, I would also think that countries may not be the best diversifier. Maybe using certain languages would be better here, or using certain scripts, i.e., would a registrant using a Roman script be used to transliterate or translate? Probably not. Would the same registrant, if he entered a Chinese script and be for transliteration and translation, that would be another issue to consider. Rather than looking at where the registrant is actually based, we should look at what he's actually entering into the WHOIS, or what he should be, what he can enter. That may be a consideration.
I'm sorry, I'm not on the Adobe Connect. I just want to get in line with you. Yeah, it's Yoav. I just want to. I can't raise my hand. I'm not on the Adobe Connect.
Yeah.
So just put
okay. Would you like to say something about that?
Yeah, but was there anyone else before me in the queue?
Yeah. There's okay. Amr, I think, wants to say something else. So let's just let Amr go first.
Sure. This is Amr, Chris.
Okay.
I actually have a question, and I would defer that to Yoav first. He might actually explain what it is I want to ask.
Okay.
Yoav, go first. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, so I want to explain what was my motivation for this point when I raised it. It's coming from the fact that there are official scripts in different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Addresses, and it mainly refers to addresses. Addresses in different countries are written in a specific script that is official in that country.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you go to China, probably addresses are written in Chinese script. In Israel, it's written in Hebrew script. In
yeah.
Lebanon, in Arabic script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we're talking about contact data,
mm-hmm.
so maybe we want to decide that only in countries that are using certain scripts, and therefore that those are specific countries,
mm-hmm.
this is where we want to do the transliteration. It's mainly because I was referring, and Volker, this is where, by the way, an issue that we've discussed also between us and the registrars and with the board also. And it goes to the next point of WHOIS validation, is how can you actually validate these addresses?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, my opinion is also no, but I just want to raise that and make sure that doesn't happen, okay? Because it's actually going to make things very, very complicated, but it's very important to understand that there's a difference. And I totally agree that there are different scripts, but when we are talking about addresses, official addresses in countries are written in an official local script. And this is why I think it's important to discuss this.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. Amr, does that make things any easier for you? Oh, now you've put your hand down.
Yeah, it does, actually. I'm glad I let you have that. Thanks, Yoav.
This is Chris speaking. I would like to suggest that we change this and we say those based in certain countries those based in certain countries or in certain scripts. So we're just adding the text or in certain scripts. I mean, the complicating situation here is a situation like Singapore where, you could have sort of Roman script, you could have traditional Chinese they use simplified Chinese these days, or you could have Tamil script. So, some countries do have several scripts, and so you might get into that kind of minefield. But I think if we put something like only those based in certain countries, or only those or only those in certain scripts, I think that may get round that problem. But I shall remain quiet for a moment and just wonder whether anybody can improve on that.
I think it's okay. I think it's straightforward.
Okay, there are some interesting things going on in the chat room here. I'm just reading my way through those. Volker, would you like to say something?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. First of all, thank you for the comment with the languages, with the countries with different scripts. That's exactly what I was getting at. And Amr also raised a point in the chat, immigrants who don't speak a language of the host country. I mean, depending on or not if registrations can happen in a certain country or a country that uses a certain script in that script, they can also still happen in Roman numbers and therefore make a transliteration or translation unnecessary. So maybe the word mandatory in these two questions should also be looked at. Mandatory in a certain country might not be applicable if the registrant does what he's used to with the current registration, that he just uses Roman scripts.
Thank you for that, Volker. This is raising really quite a difficult issue, and it is. For example, perhaps we have a registrant who has been used to doing everything just in the Roman script, and there is then the issue, what happens if he is forced to, it is mandatory that he then starts processing other scripts, which these are scripts, languages that he doesn't have access to. So it's actually what I'm trying to say is I think this is a bigger problem than just immigrant people. It could be any registrant being forced to do work in languages that they don't command. I mean, this is stuff that the working group definitely needs to talk about, and that's how I have understood the word mandatory. For me, the word mandatory is talking about that situation. But Volker, would you like to add something to that?
Yes, from my experience, having lived a couple of years in Japan and looking at Japanese domain name registrations regularly, I can see that there's a wild infrastructure or wild variety of ways that the registrants in Japan put their addresses, because they're using currently ASCII scripts to place their addresses there, and they're doing the transliteration and translation themselves with wildly different results. And that is something that will probably also continue even though you allow non-ASCII scripts in the future. And I'm assuming that those will not have to be translated and transliterated again, even if you end up with transliteration or translation at all. And therefore, mandatory, like I said, the word mandatory in these two questions might not be the right word to use. But I'm also be considered, I don't know what better word to put there. I just throw that as a thought.
Okay, thank you very much for that. This is Chris speaking. Yes, I mean, I agree completely. I'm not convinced that it's the best word, but I have understood it to mean that kind of situation. And incidentally, Japan is a case where there are at least two romanizations in fairly common usage, and what you actually see when you look at Japanese contact data is often a mixture of both romanizations. So this ends up being very, very tricky, and there are situations where there are even countries, smaller countries particularly, where there's either no standard romanization or there are many and they're all competing with each other, and romanization just ends up being a terrible headache. Rudy, you've got your hand up. Would you like to add something to this?
Thank you. Chris, Rudy speaking. Well, as I just written also in the chat, I'm wondering if at the end the working group should elaborate a kind of matrix that will help in decide if we are talking about mandatory use of translation and transliteration. It probably would be good if we can have a matrix with countries and scripts or languages that could be mandatory in order to avoid that there will be a misunderstanding of where is the mandatory taking place. The country, the language, the script, that's, I think, the difficult thing that this has to go through.
Okay, yes, thank you for that. That is another possibility here. You might need to send some possible text on that to the list after this conversation, I think. This is Chris speaking, by the way. Thank you for that. I am wondering whether we should now move on to the last of the 4 points, which is the what impact will translation transliteration of contact data have on the WHOIS validation as set out under the 2013 RAA. And that was actually replacing a piece of text which I had suggested, which was saying when should the working group's recommendations come into effect, because I added that piece of text originally because I was concerned that you could have two pieces of ICANN policy saying opposite things at the same time. So for me, the question of when does this when does this policy come into effect? For me, that's quite an important question. I am wondering whether we actually need to bring this back. So whether it would actually be necessary to reinstate that thing and actually have it. When should the working group's recommendations come into effect? Because if the recommendations are contradicting something in the RAA, then you've got an issue there. But that also raises the more general question of whether the working group should be allowed to contradict the RAA. That's a far bigger question. So what I'm saying is I would like to replace the question about, you get that back in, I would like to add when should the working group's recommendations come into effect.
Can I be in the queue?
Hear any contributions on that.
Can I be in the queue if you have?
Yes, please speak, you have.
Okay, so... I'm okay with you adding this question. I just think that the original wording that was talking about the WHOIS validation, and it is important. It's unrelated because, again, that's one of the issues that we need to see. We need to, when the working group gets together and talks about this, whether this is actually feasible.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
The fact that you're gonna have a new policy, can it be actually? Once you have that policy translation and transliteration, can that be actually used once, for example, for validation? Will we be able as registrars to validate those addresses, that contact data as we are required? So that's what I'm saying. And when it will come into an effect is another question. You can just add it as the next question, but I still think that considering the other policies that are have been accepted by ICANN is very, very important in the discussion for translation consideration.
Thank you, Yoav. That's going back to the correspondence that we had on the list, where this is a point that came up on the list, and certainly this is actually going back to what Volker was saying about the Japanese case, whereby you could get several different Japanese romanizations, all of which are valid. So, the idea of, the emails were very interesting, because in the email, the expression "the correct form" was used. And in fact, you actually suspect that in a rather difficult situation where there are several romanizations, or there's not even a particularly stable romanization, that you're no longer talking about the correct form, you're talking about a correct form, one of several. So, I mean, I think it's absolutely right to flag this up. I mean, if validation is something that's very strict and doesn't allow this kind of bandwidth, the sort of movement from one side to another, it doesn't allow several possibilities, then there could be problems there. It needs to be a validation. It's a validation which will accept a certain range of things. And then Julie is suggesting something in the chat room. And when should the new policy relating to translation and transliteration conduct information come into effect? Yes, that's really what we're saying for that additional bullet. And there was also an earlier piece about the matrix, which I'll just read that out because I think that's helpful. It's to help to answer these questions and determine whether translation or transliteration should be mandatory, the working group should develop a matrix elaborating a ruling in each possible case for countries and non-ASCII scripts. Yes, that's a very, very interesting suggestion. To be honest, I feel personally I need to think about that because I'm just worried that that feels like quite a heavy commitment, quite a heavy responsibility. So we should add that, but that's part of the document that we really need to think about very hard, because it looks like quite a difficult responsibility. Okay, and
Chris, would you speak? Yes, if I may add some comments to this sentence. It's just a proposal to create such a matrix, and it's the working group at the end who should decide if it's going to use a matrix, yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it could help to make it easier for the new GTLDs how to understand where their commitment will go to.
Okay. Thank you for that. This is Chris speaking again. I think probably perhaps the wording needs to be changed, that the working group may wish to consider a matrix along these lines. And, that way we could say to them, look, if a matrix is helpful to you, if that's a good way of approaching this, then good. But we wouldn't actually be tying them to it. Do you see? Julie is actually typing some text as I'm speaking. So she's writing, the working group may wish to consider developing a matrix. Now that... Yes, that feels like really good text for the document. Because again, it's just not tying them down really, it's keeping them free to solve it in whatever creative way they want to. Okay, now, does anybody else want to raise any points on this text on page 4? Amr, would you like to add something?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. This is Amr. I have a question. I'm sorry, I missed the cue to ask questions on the first bullet. What exactly the benefits of the community are of translating and or transliterating contact data, mm-hmm. especially in light of the cost that may be connected to mm-hmm. translation / transliteration.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering how... I wonder, will it be easy for the working group to answer this question? Will they need to determine what the cost of translation and transliteration is before answering this question? And if so, will they be able to do this considering that they will not be able to even determine what items in the contact information will be transmitted or transliterated, because that's going to be happening in another PDP, correct?
Right. Okay. Thank you very much for that, Amr. This is Chris speaking. I wonder whether actually we need to edit this text. What exactly the benefits to the community are of translating and or transliterating contact data, and then lose the rest of it altogether. Because that is that could be an onerous responsibility for the working group.
Yeah, but sorry to have here, Volker. I think it was your point raised on this. Do you want to take a lead on that, or you want me to talk about it?
You take the point. I think.
Okay. So I think the reason we've raised it as registered again. So then. There has to be something attached in the matter of cost. I understand what you're saying, that it was going to be hard to evaluate exactly what's going to be the cost from that perspective. But if the recommendation is going to be, hey, we need to have this, but the cost is there because there is a certain benefit. But that benefit is when you look at some estimates of the cost. To the community in general, is going to be, you know, doesn't worth it at some level, then, you know, maybe the recommendation should be, okay, you know, it's going to cost, I'll exaggerate now, it's going to cost $1 billion to have that happen, and the benefit is not so high, so maybe we shouldn't do it. And that's where this came from, that was brought by Volker, but I totally support that. So this is why we think that cost to the community in general, doesn't matter who's paying at the end, whether it's the registrants, the registrars, the registries, ICANN, or whoever, should be considered in this discussion, at least at some level, even if it's not precise, but some level of evaluation.
Okay, thank you for that, Yoav. I think that probably means that we do need to leave it there. But you know, obviously, I am trying to give the working group as much freedom as I can here. But I think you may be right. That may be something they need to answer. Now there are two questions, and I've missed who got there first. I think Volker may have done.
Well, last time Amr got the second row, so I'm letting him go ahead.
Okay. Amr.
Thanks, Volker. This is Amr. Just in response to Yoav, I think it's a good question that's being asked, and it is a valid question. It should be answered. I'm just questioning whether this working group will be able to answer the question. And I'm just concerned about posing the question to them that they will find that they lack the capacity or the ability to answer. And this takes us to a point that we discussed earlier during the drafting of this charter, of the fact that there is another PDP which will determine what items in the contact information will be translated or transliterated. And so my question is really, will this working group be able to even give a rough estimate of what the costs might be, or will they have to sort of hypothesize and guess, and then weigh that benefit, weigh the benefit of translation, transliteration against this cost? I'm just wondering, and I would like to hear other people's thoughts on how fair it would be to ask the working group to make this determination. I'm guessing it might be a serious point of contention during the work of the working group, and I'd rather spare them if we feel that this is something that they will find difficulty performing. Thanks.
thank you for that. I think there are strong arguments on both sides of this. Volker, would you like to pick that up?
Yes, just as an attachment to that, I agree that the working group will probably have a very hard job attaching a dollar figure to this work, because there's just so many unknowns in there. There's not just the cost of maybe having a provider that does it, but also implementation costs and adaptation costs for current systems and all kinds of background costs that will have to be borne at some point that are not external costs that can be taken over by some party. There will be costs that the registrar or registries, which will display the data and verify it, we'll have to bear with that, will not be on the front end. But on the other hand, I think the benefits can be more or less determined. It can be defined by the working group that something is a nice to have or something is a needs to be. Does transliteration provide, which benefits does translation and transliteration actually provide to which stakeholders, and how would these stakeholders value that, what they're getting from potential transliteration and translation? So by enumerating the benefits and talking about what the costs may be without making an actual determination, the working group can make a determination if certain factors of the translation or transliteration are actually worth it, need to be, or are nice to have, and could be in the recommendation or best practices packages, for example. So that's just something that shouldn't be the basis for their final decision, but should be an influence in their deliberations. Just keep that in mind. Determine what the costs, what the benefits are, and what the costs may be. So, if these are somehow in a scale that they even out, to just value the to make the recommendations, bear that in mind. That's the main point behind my raising that originally.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Volker. I think the consensus is that we need to leave that clause in, but it also strikes me that, you know, it may be good slightly to change the wording. I don't know whether anybody wants to have a go at doing that now, or whether it's best done after the meeting.
Can you scroll down to the sentence and just have a look what's currently in there?
This is Lars. I've just released the document, so you can all scroll all by yourself.
Thank you.
This is the operator. All the lines are still connected.
Okay, thank you. I think probably that needs a little more thinking about. The text at the bottom of page 4 is interesting. Volker, would you like to say something?
Just for the top of page 5, the thing is, I don't really like the issue of who should decide who should bear the cost. I think that misses the point a bit. I think we should rather focus on making an evaluation of costs versus of potential costs versus expected benefits in the recommendations. I.e., deliberating what the recommendations are actually supposed to achieve, and if that is still reasonable with the expected costs. That's, I think, the better question you to ask.
Thank you for that. So to some extent, that matrix may be replacing this bit. Was Chris speaking? Okay, Rudy, would you like to say something about that?
Thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. I think that the matrix can help in a certain way. But again, first of all, I'm wondering if it's possible to calculate a real cost, first of all, of translation, transliteration. It all depends on a lot of things. Mm. On the other side, who is querying the translation, transliteration aspect that needs to be discussed? And I think that if we could put that in a matrix, it can help the working group in having a final decision on which way to go at the end.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. I think probably we are talking about both. Volker, would you like to say something at this point?
Just forgot to take off.
It's no problem. So I think the consensus there is, and this is still Chris speaking, that we will leave that text there and possibly have more of a think about it after the conversation. And I think that means we are down to the last additional sentence, which is finally, the working group is expected to review and check relevant recommendations that may arise from the expert working group on GTLD directory service if when those become available. Yeah, okay, so I wouldn't think that's going to be too controversial unless somebody would like to raise something about that last edition. If not, Julie has been adding something about the matrix, which is to help to answer these questions and determine whether translation or transliteration should be mandatory, and to help consider the costs, the working group may wish to consider developing a matrix elaborating a ruling and potential costs in each possible case for countries and non-ASCII scripts. Yes, that sounds lovely. Thank you very much for that. Okay, so I now get to ask the question, is there anything else anybody would like to bring up? Yes, Julie.
I had a question. I think it was Volker who noted, we have added the text at the top of page 5 that says, as part of its deliberation on who should decide who should bear the cost, and the text that follows. Are we keeping that text in, or is the text that we have concerning the matrix replacing that text? I'm a little unclear based on the...
This is Chris speaking. My understanding is that we're keeping both, but if Volker or anybody else would like to make a case for something else, that's also good.
Volker speaking. I am always in favor of making the charter more broad, so including more options, having both options in there, the matrix and this language, I think is helpful.
Yes. Okay. All right. There's just something going on in the chat room, but yeah, I think this... Julie, would you like to add?
Just one other question. Chris, when we were talking about page 4, mm-hmm. there was some text I thought that you mentioned adding, I didn't capture, I was not able to capture what it
It's in the comments. So the comment, you see, originally bullet point four, I actually replaced it and I said, when should the working group's recommendations come into effect? And then somebody came back, it might have been Volker, came back and said, no, actually what was intended was what impact will, and then as it reads. So I think our agreement was that it would actually be helpful to reinstate my comment as a separate bullet point, so we end up with five.
This is Julie Hedlund. Thank you for that clarification, because I don't, I hadn't captured that correctly in the document. And just so that you all know, all the things that I've been putting into the chat room, I've incorporated into the document as red line on top of, the red line that Lars had put in. So that was what I was planning on sending around to this group, which leads me to another question, and that is, do we need another meeting to discuss the revised version and that I've tried to capture here?
Hello, Julie. My own impression is that we do not require another meeting. We have officially 13 minutes to talk about any of the edits we've made, or even make new edits. Once you've updated the document, it is possible that there will be some discussion on the list, but I feel now that is unlikely to need another meeting. Lars, would you like to say something?
Chris. Just to point out that if the council were to consider this in a Buenos Aires meeting, it has to be submitted on Monday. So if we agree not to have a meeting and send it out via the list, and then people would like to come back, people would have to agree to either do this, if they want to submit it by Monday, to do this via the list, or have a very ad hoc meeting on Friday, which might not be the easiest thing to organize.
Indeed. So the conclusion there is that this, because of that Monday deadline, this has to be treated as very urgent at this point. So if there is somebody who does, who reads the document and thinks, this really has missed something, then that really has to be treated as very urgent, so that we meet the deadline. Okay, and Rudy, what would you like to say about this?
Thank you, Chris. Rudy speaking. Well, I think that with the modifications that we brought up in the document now, we are in fact responding to the questions that the GNSL councillors had about the charter and the working group definition. So I really don't see any need to go in further discussions if we can agree on what we decided now. It can be sent within the time limit requested so that it can be handled in the Buenos Aires meeting and the decision can be taken so that the working group can be launched. Further delay would not be good, as we know that certain GTLDs, new GTLDs, will be launched within the next few months. So I would propose that we try to keep it in the timing and that it can pass on the Buenos Aires meeting.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that, Rudy. I completely agree with you. I think we've had a good discussion about the various additions. We have addressed them. We've taken the trouble to clarify some of them, and the drafting looks very good to me. I think we should allow people just to read the updated document. but that anything that would come out of it would be small enough to be so that we can settle it on the list rather than requiring a dedicated additional meeting this week.
Sorry, guys, I need to leave in a minute. It's Yoav. Can I just say something?
By all means.
So first of all, thank you all for the very fast process here. I'm happy that we were able to do this way. I think we're okay. I think it's enough that everyone will be able just to read the corrections, and then we can submit it on time for Buenos Aires. And I will be happy to be the one proposing it to the council, to submit it to the council. I'm sure Volker will second it, and we can quickly have this charter passed.
Thank you very much for that, Yoav. That is really good to hear. Okay.
Hi, yes, Volker speaking. We have no intention of keeping this any longer than it has to be. I mean, we saw a few deficiencies in the charter that we thought that were limiting to the work of the actual working group in the council, and we want this on the way as soon as possible. So if you can get it ready for Buenos Aires, I'm certain that at least from the contracted party's house there will be no objection to passing this.
Thank you very much for that. Okay. Any other business at this point? We have a bit more than 5 minutes left now. Ah, yes. Julie is actually saying in the chat room that we should actually set a deadline and say that anything on the mailing list needs to be put there by the close of business on Friday. Which I would certainly agree with, and Rudy's typing, so does he. And Emma is agreeing as well. Okay, I think we are probably done. Just leaves me to say thank you very much to everybody for turning this round, that we've had a really good conversation today, and we've managed to get through it, and we've avoided having to do another meeting which may not may have struggled to be quorate later in the week. And some nice things in the chat room. Okay, thank you very much. And
thank you.
Probably be running into people in Buenos Aires now, so look forward to that.
I'm here. See you there.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. See you in Argentina.
Thank you very much, indeed. Yes.
See you soon. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Julie. I'm going to stop the recording.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Today's conference. Please disconnect at this time.